Growing up, the house is big, there's life in the house, there's a lot of excitement in the house. Visitors are coming, but as the people start moving out, that house starts getting quiet. So now that big house suddenly feels very big. Or that house that was managing with everyone suddenly feels like a white elephant. So he goes and he approaches his parents. This is what you call when a person has got akhlaq in him. Forward thinking, future thinking, intelligent thinking. He cares of even the emotional well-being of the seniors. So he goes up at that time and he tells his parents that I have taken a decision that for 40 years I won't move out of this house. He said then I could see that they had some type of comfort in them, that they now knew that there's somebody that's going to stay with them. So this is what you call. And then we would find that for years and years, maybe close to 40 years he's been sitting for i'tikaf. And many years now you'd find that all the people around him are sitting for sunnah i'tikaf. But he would make niyat of nafil i'tikaf. Can you imagine? The sheikh is sitting there and he's making niyat of nafil and everyone around him is making niyat of sunnah. Why was he niyat of nafil? That if there comes a opportunity where I need to make khidmat of my mother, I can leave the masjid and go out and make the khidmat of my mother. And this is what you call a person who's got ri'ayat, a person who thinks about the welfare of the seniors and the parents. And this is learned directly from the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take into cognizance and he would take into account even the people that we take for granted. And one person that we generally take for granted is the wife. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, this riwayat is mentioned in Muslim Sharif, she says that it was my turn. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would take turns to spend the night with the various wives. It was my turn. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came into the room. He took out his upper garment, his cloak or his kurta, and then he took out his sandals. He had placed both of them at the place, at the area where he would leave, where his feet would be. When he would lie down, where his feet would be, at that area, he left his sandals and he left his kurta. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam spread one side of his cloth and he lied down. And then when Nabi sallallahu, she is reporting, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam perceived or he thought that I was sleeping, just a side point from here, very often people say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is alimul ghayb. He knows the unseen and he knows everything. This riwayat Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu is saying that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam thought I was sleeping. He didn't know that I was not sleeping, I was awake. When he thought I was sleeping, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam woke up. He woke up, فَأَخَذَ رِدَاءَهُ رُوَيْدًا وَانْتَعَلَ لِهُ رُوَيْدًا وَفَتَحَ الْبَابَ رُوَيْدًا وَخَرَجَ وَأَجَافَهُ رُوَيْدًا وَكَمَا قَالَ عَيْشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا. She says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he put on his kurta very gently, quietly. Why? No, not causing any taklif to her that she was sleeping. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam put on his sandals very quietly, very gently. He opened the door very gently. He went out very gently. He closed the door again very, very gently. So she explains that this was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to such an extent that the thought came into her mind, natural thought that comes in a poor wife's mind, that maybe perhaps he's spending the night with another wife. So she follows him and she goes after him only to find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the dead of night is a Jannatul Baqi. He's standing there for a long time, picking his hands up three times and making dua for the inmates of Jannatul Baqi. So then now when she sees he's coming back, now she comes and she proceeds. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam proceeds at times with a higher pace. So she also goes with a higher pace. And when she comes back to the home, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes back and asks her, why is she panting? So then she keeps quiet and she doesn't say. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells her that if you don't tell me, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell me. Allah will tell me. So then she explains. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam now tells her and explains to her something for us to appreciate and understand, that even the wife who we take for granted deserves that extra level of consideration. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells her that Jibreel alayhi wasallam had come and he had told me that Allah Pak is commanding me to make dua for the inmates of Jannatul Baqi. And Jibreel alayhi wasallam had concealed this from you. I replied to Jibreel alayhi wasallam and I had also concealed my reply from you. And I've done this, I've done the way I've behaved in this manner, it's so that you don't get afraid. Now how often it happens that when a husband is staying with the wife, that sometimes he just screams from one side to the next side, the wife may be sleeping, the children may be sleeping, that level of consideration is not there. This is what you call ri'ayat. Therefore it is mentioned that إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عَوْنٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِلْفَتَى فَأَوَّلُ مَا يَجْنِي عَلَيْهِ اِجْتِهَادُ. That when the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken away from a young person, when the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken away from a young person, then the first thing that works against him is his own intelligence. that what's wrong if I do this? What's wrong if I do this? Not realizing that the welfare and the thinking and the desire and the murad and what the intention of the parents are, this means much, much more than what you think in your mind. So sometimes a child will go out late at night, the parents are worried, they're at home, they don't know what is happening to the child, they're not in the position to tell the child anything out of fear that this child may react in a rebellious way, so they just keep quiet. But it is the duty of the child that he should behave in a way that is becoming of showing that akhlaq, that these are my parents, they've done everything for me in my young days, that when I couldn't sleep, they didn't sleep, when I couldn't breathe, or I had difficulty in breathing, they also had difficulty in breathing. When I had some type of sickness, it was as though they were also sick. When that child thinks like that, then he will think about the psychological welfare also of his parents. So, Hazrat Mufti Sahib also, when he would go out for a short while, he would ensure that somebody would be there to be company to his mother. Why? So she has that type of friendship, somebody to be with her, to keep her at that emotional well-being, emotional welfare. Hazrat Muhammad Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi, there was an incident, and this incident, Hazrat Muhammad Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi, he would mention it many times. Sometimes in a bayan, we would like to hear something that is exciting, some type of research that is relating to Mars, and relating to outer space, and how it's tying up with the Quran, and with flowery language, we would like to listen to the talk. But these simple things are things that affect the heart. They are the practical things that we need to bring in our lives. The ayat of the Quran which I had mentioned in the khutbah, Allah Pak tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you, imagine, that person who mentioned, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq is at the highest pedestal. Highest pedestal is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is telling him that if you were to be hard and harsh-hearted, لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, the people from around you would disperse, they'll run away from you. Averse to. So this shows that this concern and this akhlaq is something that is so important. So anyway, Hazrat Muhammad Tanvi sahab rahmatullahi, one of Masihullah sahab rahmatullahi mentioned this incident. He said that on one occasion, it was the month of Ramadan, that one person, one alim had come. And in the month of Ramadan, generally, you would find that outside visitors would come, ulama would come, people would come. They were more free in the month of Ramadan. So one alim had come there, and Hazrat Muhammad Tanvi sahab rahmatullahi alayhi had seen him sitting in one place, and then he woke up and he went and he sat right next to one person in the masjid who was making either dua or this person was in zikr. So he went and sat right next to that person. So Hazrat Muhammad Tanvi sahab rahmatullahi alayhi had called him and told him, come. And then he asked him that, why did you sit right next to this person here? So he said, Hazrat, you know, where I was sitting, I thought that my back was facing you, so I didn't feel that was good akhlaq, that was not good character, so I came and sat next to this person, so now my back is not facing you. So Maulana Tanvi sahab rahmatullahi alayhi tells him, teaching a person that to have good akhlaq, to have good character, you always have to be forward thinking. Your mind has to be thinking, and the way to do it, ulama explained, the way to do it is we have to put ourselves in the next man's shoes. If I was in the next man's shoes, how would I feel if this person treated me like this? So to teach him a lesson that this akhlaq, 50% of the tasawwuf is to do with the ammul. Maulana Tanvi rahmatullahi alayhi was a giant in tasawwuf. He reduced this tasawwuf into two things. One is the ammul, being considerate, thinking, applying one's mind. And the second thing is the hammul, a person having bardash, a person holding back, a person refraining, a person being very careful as far as his level of tolerance is concerned. Never mind, this person told me this, that person told me that, this person behaved, very rudely on the road, it doesn't matter. I must express and I must demonstrate that level of tahammul, that level of tolerance. If a person has got these two things, he is very considerate, he has a high level of tolerance, this person has got tasawwuf in his life. So Mawlana, that's why, therefore, Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi, the students that were with him, it was an era in his zamana, a time when there was no WhatsApp, there was no cell phones. So letters would come from far and wide. Can you imagine the excitement in the student's heart that a letter has come from home? Sometimes if it would come from close family members, they would want to open the envelope quickly. He would ensure and he would tell his friends and his students that don't even tear the flap of that envelope. When you're opening that envelope, open it in such a way that you don't tear that flap. That flap is normally stuck with glue. Why? Teaching in a person that you should have some level of tolerance in you. some level of patience in you. If you don't have that much patience that you need to tear the flap, how are you going to have patience in the outside world? So build that tolerance in you now, so you can be patient in the outside world. So sometimes it will take them long to open, but he was building that type of akhlaq in him. Just to finish off with the story of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. So this person came and sat right next to another person who was making zikr, who was making dua. So he said, Hazrat, I didn't want my back to face you, therefore I sat there. So Maulana Thanvi, in a nice way, teaching him, explaining to him, he said, I understand that, but there's so much of place in the masjid, why did you sit right next to that person? So now he had no answer. So he said, now tell me, is it right for you to do that? Was it right for you to come sit right next to the person when there's so much of place? So he said, Hazrat, no, it's not right. He said, okay, tell me why it's not right. He says, because perhaps I'm invading that man's privacy. If he's making dua, he might want to cry in his dua. He might want to express some emotion in his dua. Now he feels shy because I'm sitting right next to him. Or if he's making zikr, he may want to make zikr in a loud manner. He feels a little bit shy that there's somebody sitting right next to him. So emotionally, I invaded this person's privacy. Emotionally, I affected him. So now Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah said, yes, you've given the right answer. Now how are you going to make up for what you did? So he said, Hazrat, what I'll do is in the khanka, I'll go outside and I'll straighten everyone's shoes. Everybody's shoes I'll straighten and I'll put it right. So then Maulana tells him that if you do this, everyone will say, Shabash. There's one wali of Allah that came here to the khanka. He's not going to help you to bring humility in your life. So he said, Hazrat, okay, what I'll try and do is I'll clean the drains. Those people that have been to India, they know that sometimes the drains there are so dirty, they're so filthy, they're full of mucus and full of dirt and full of other things that are running in those drains. And it's a very, very messy, smelly place to work. He said, Hazrat, I'll clean all the drains around you. Hazrat tell him, then that's even worse. People will say, now you're an even bigger buzruk than you've been cleaning the drains. So he says, Hazrat, you tell me what I should do. So then Maulana Thanvi now tells him, this is a very strange matter. That you do the wrong and you ask, you did the wrong, you should find the solution. What he's trying to do is trying to create isti'adad, trying to create a capacity in the student that the day will come when you have to be so thoughtful and your thought must be a broad spectrum thought. It must cover every angle, every facet of your life. So then he says, okay, Hazrat, what I'll do is I'll go to Jalalabad. First he said, I'll leave the khanka, as though I'm expelled. Now you expel me from this place. That was like the highest punishment you could get. Must get expelled from the place. So he said, where will you go to? He said, I'll go to Jalalabad. He said, bahut acha, very, very good. So now he makes a trip. Now can you imagine, he leaves the khanka, he goes out and he goes to Jalalabad. And there Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali works on him. And then after a while, he writes a letter back to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that, Hazrat, I'm very sorry for the mistake I made. I promise I'll never make this mistake again. Now you tell me that will a person with that type of training ever be inconsiderate about the feelings of people, be inconsiderate of the emotions of people, be inconsiderate about the welfare of people if he's so careful that I mustn't invade somebody's privacy when I'm sitting. So this is what you call akhlaq. When a person has this in his life, then he's very careful that I mustn't hurt anybody. Every single person I must be careful of. Now can you imagine how well he'll treat his parents? There was one incident that I wanted to mention, perhaps on another occasion, or maybe I'll just say it in a minute or so, that there was one person that was taking care of his mother. And then the insistence on this period that I must go overseas with the family, and then because of that insistence of the family, he went and he left his mother here with a caregiver. And when he left her in this period with a caregiver, only to find out that she had passed away. So this person now says the amount of sadness I'm experiencing, the amount of difficulty that I'm feeling internally because I had left my mother. I thought that I did the right thing. And this is the cry of so many parents today, that when it comes to these periods, we got to live out of a bag, we got to live out of a suitcase. No son and no child wants to look after us. And this is what we call akhlaq, that we must take care of these two things. One is we take care of the comfort and the well-being, especially of those people that are our seniors, especially of our parents, especially of those people that are close to us, and the general welfare of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the other thing we have to take very, very good care of is we don't displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. If we start off this new academic year keeping these two things in mind, inshallah, every single day of our life, we will spend in such a way that we won't earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We won't earn the displeasure of any person. May Allah give us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.